I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America. I'm honored to be joined today by Carol Swain, who is a professor of political science and law at Vanderbilt University. Professor Swain is also the author of several books, including Black Faces, Black Interests, and she is an increasingly prominent voice in the conservative movement. She joins me now to talk about some of the most important issues in the headlines and share her thoughts on what will be most important, or at least should be most important, to voters heading into this year's midterm elections. And Carol, it's great to have you with us. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Well, right now, not that far from where you are in Nashville, just a couple states over in Missouri, there's obviously a lot of tension, has been for days, in Ferguson, Missouri, after the shooting death of the black teenager over the weekend. There's been riots, there's been looting, and there's also been a lot of criticism and critique of police. Are they militarized at this point? Are they treating journalists and others properly? What's your sense about what we've seen there and the appropriate thing to expect in a situation like this?
Well, first of all, we've seen some things that are familiar, because usually when there's an incident like that, the black community often reacts by rioting. So the vandalism, a lot of the looting, we've seen that before. And we've also seen Al Sharpton come to the scene and then the media descend upon the city. And I think that it's a serious problem with black youth and the police. And I think the fault lies on both sides, because it's important for parents to teach their children how to react to police. But at the same time, we want to monitor police behavior to make sure that there isn't brutality taking place and racism. And so I think the responsibility lies both ways. I am concerned about the military artillery and equipment in the city, but I'm more concerned about it because I think there are some other cities around the country where we've seen tanks, we've seen a lot of military activity, and for all we know, this is something that the government, you know, is behind, and it could be used against other citizens, not just in that particular riot situation. So I'm glad the issues are coming to the forefront. I think they're much larger than Ferguson, Missouri.
Carol, obviously the president has dealt with issues with a racial component earlier in his administration. He's been criticized for some of the ways that he's addressed those situations, from the Skip Gates incident up at Harvard to Trayvon Martin. He's spoken out a couple different times now on what's going on in Ferguson. What do you have to make of how he's addressed it to this point?
Well, I mean, he's been cautious, more cautious than in the past, because in the past he's been quick to jump to the conclusion, you know, that it's all racism when he didn't know the facts. In this particular case, I think he could help the situation a lot by appealing to the black community and maybe even the journalists as well, because I think that with the black community, they need to know that rioting, looting, violence is never an appropriate response. It's not an effective method of protest. I think it hurts the entire black community. So I'd like to see President Obama, Attorney General Eric Holder, some of the other black leaders to step forward and urge the black community to act in their own self-interest, which is not to engage in behavior that is lawless. At the same time with the journalists, I think that it's easy to bait the police, because policemen, they seem, you know, sort of jittery at times. And I think that it's easy to get them to act up in front of cameras, and that the whole system, the whole situation might be diffused a bit if it wasn't, you know, this incentive for the journalists to come there. And it makes the situation, I think, much more tense than it has to be. There must be oversight, but there must be common sense and good judgment as well. And the black community, everyone's holding their hands in the air, and, you know, this is the new thing, lifting my hands in the air. I think that there's guilt on both sides as far as the situation right now. It needs to be calmed down, but both sides must take some responsibility for what's taking place. And the UN does not need to be involved.
Carol, as I mentioned at the beginning, you're also very active in politics. Just for the sake of our viewers and listeners who aren't that familiar with your story, obviously, when you look at the way that politics are kind of divided now and in some ways along racial and gender lines, you're a black woman who's a very strong conservative. How did you get there?
Well, I mean, I started off, like most blacks, I was born a Democrat. And I was a Democrat most of my life. And in 2000, I had a Christian conversion experience that sort of shifted me a little bit. But I did not align with the Republican Party until 2009, and it was bit by bit. At some point, I decided I could no longer be a Democrat because of all the issues, policy stances that are contrary to Judeo-Christian values as I understand them. And I've never sought to be involved in politics, but I see issues like immigration, the national surveillance, and the national security problems. And often I don't hear people speaking out. And I believe that part of my responsibility is to speak. And for people that know nothing about me, I was a high school dropout. I was one of 12 children, born and raised in rural poverty. I married at 16, had two children early in my teens. And I got a high school equivalency, went on to get 5 college and university degrees. I taught at Princeton, was tenured there early. I won national prizes. I've been cited by the U.S. Supreme Court. And now I do media and I speak out about issues because I believe that our nation is at a critical point, and that if I don't stand up and if other people don't stand up, and as is the title of my latest book, Be the People, I think we the people need to stand up, take responsibility for the condition of the nation. And we can't point fingers at other people, that it's our responsibility, it's our country, we have to fight for it.
Carol, you mentioned how your faith infuses your politics, whether it's issues ranging from immigration to some of the hot-button social issues that continue year after year. How well do you think the Republican Party is addressing those issues?
The Republican Party has lost its way. I don't think it has an identity or problem. It doesn't know what it wants to be. It believes it has to become the Democrat Party to stay in power. And I believe that's a serious mistake. I think that the majority of Americans are not liberal. I mean, in data, surveys show that they're not liberal. There are people that want to have an option, and that option could be a political party that stood for conservative values and principles. And when I talk about conservative values and principles, I'm thinking about Judeo-Christian values and principles. The Republican Party has not stood up enough for the Constitution, as far as I'm concerned, in Washington. And all this noise now about impeaching the president, they should have been screaming when the president first started abusing executive privilege. And I think the Republicans have not stood up because they want to do it too. And so when they're in power, we're not going to get that much change, that much difference. The entire system is broken. I wouldn't care that much if 95% of the members of Congress were not reelected and new people were reelected, were elected for the first time, because I don't have confidence in Congress. I don't have confidence in the system. Yet part of my responsibility is to tell people, get out there and vote, get out there and work, but it's going to take more than voting to change America.
What do you want to hear from leaders, from political candidates about how they would lead this nation that obviously you're not hearing right now? What would give you confidence that they understand what they should be doing?
Nothing they say would give me confidence, because it's too easy to run on the platform and to say exactly what you think voters want to hear, and the day after the election you do something different. And so when I look at the incumbents, there are people that are totally consistent. I think about Congressman Frank Wolf that is stepping down this year. I mean, he's someone that has always stood for a particular set of values and principles. I look at Senator Jeff Sessions in Congress now, fighting that immigration battle that other Republicans should be joining him. I don't see them doing it. I see in my own state Senator Lamar Alexander and Bob Corker. And these are people that are not really representing the preferences of the majority in the state. But because the system is set up the way it is in Tennessee and in other parts of the country, it's almost nothing that voters can do. And I think that's unfortunate. We have to have a system that's responsive, that we can hold the incumbents accountable. And we have to look beyond what they say. We can only go by the record of what they do and what they've done in the past.
Last question for you, Carol. You talked about your new book, Be the People. You talked a little bit about the message in there. What is it that the American people need to do to take back their country as you see it?
They need to wake up and take responsibility for the mess that we're in, because the politicians enact the programs and policies supposedly on behalf of the people. We place them in office. If we don't like what we see, we can change the politicians. And we've recently had some primaries, and we've had people that were reelected. They weren't reelected. They won their party's nominations. Probably they shouldn't have. And in some of those cases, I think that we have to, you know, do the ultimate, punish them in the November elections, even if it means that our own political party fails to win in that particular state. The only way to hold politicians accountable is to hold them accountable all the way through the cycle, not just based on the lies they may tell us when they're running for the nomination, but also what their pattern has been in the past and what it's likely to be in the future.
Real quick, where can folks find you online or on social media?
Okay, I have, under Facebook, Professor Carol Swain, Twitter at Carol M. Swain, and then I have videos of Be the People TV, www.bethepeopletv.com is a website where I post videos. And I'm very involved because I care about America and I care about its people. And I don't believe that it's too late for America, but we all have a responsibility to stand up and fight.
Carol, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Carol Swain is a professor of political science and law at Vanderbilt University. You heard about her amazing success story from poverty to getting degrees from five different schools, eventually a PhD. She's the author of numerous books, including Black Faces, Black Interests, and most recently, Be the People. She's also, as we've also mentioned, a prominent rising voice in conservative politics. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.